15, went to summer camp. At the end of my summer camp, my mom was like, oh, just by the way, you're not going back to Ukraine. You're staying here, and you're going to live in Great Neck. And I'm like, what the fuck is Great Neck? And why is everyone wearing weird leggings?
The deep bond that connects our two nations. We stand with you. We stand with you. Putin may circle Kyiv with tanks, but he'll never gain the hearts and souls of the Iranian people. He'll never extinguish their love of freedom.
Are we live?
Oh shit. Are we live?
Do you know how to get a last acrylic nail?
Oh my gosh, shut up.
You need me to open that?
No, thing? I got it, okay?
She's wilder now.
I don't need no Millie to
You all need Millie.
Do you guys hear that? Okay. Welcome back to Drunk Girl Podcast.
Stop.
What?
We're not trying to get down. We're just trying to run our mouths.
Run our mouth. We have one mouth.
On the record.
Two Persian girls, one mouth. Anna, say hi to Persian Girl Podcast. Anna's never been on Persian Girl Podcast. Say hi.
I'm so honored to be on Persian Girl Podcast.
Okay, bye. You're not Persian enough for the Persian Girl Podcast.
No. I've dated Persian men, though.
She has dated Persian men. We should have Anna on one day. Ooh.
I can give you insights of a white girl dating Persian men.
Honestly, this Ukrainian woman has dated more Persian men than I have. She has more insight than I do.
I
actually have dated more Persian men than you.
I know. Yeah, you have dated more Persian men than both of us.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate for you. That says a lot about your mental health. Are you seeing a therapist?
Yeah, it's not great.
Are you seeing a therapist, Anna?
I am seeing a therapist, and therefore I will never be seeing Persian men again.
Mazal tov.
No, we support that.
That's a vow that I make.
Anna, say chodar shok.
What is it?
Chodar shok. Chodar shok.
Oh, man. I don't think I can do this.
Do it.
Okay,
say something Persian.
Something Persian?
Yeah.
What?
Okay, say something Ukrainian.
I've never taught an Anna Persian. She hardly speaks Ukrainian. Why are you putting her on the spot?
In Ukrainian? Yeah. I can say to Ukrainian, I am proud of my people.
Well, say it in Ukrainian.
Slava Ukraini.
Woo! Cheers!
This is our little Ukraine club.
We're cheersing our...
You're not announcing what we're drinking.
Our White Claw Tall Boys. The only thing more ghetto than White Claw is White Claw Tall Boys.
The only thing more ghetto than White Claw Tall Boys is the flavored black cherry.
Wait, can we talk about what exactly are White Claw Tall Boys? I've never had
those.
Okay,
so you know like in beer, there's something called a Tall Boy. It's just
a can of beer,
but larger.
Yeah. It's like a 40.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so it's a White Claw in a can, but it's a Tall Boy.
Oh, yeah, I've had that before.
It's like, it sounds so cute. Like, oh, you little, we love a Tall King. Like a little Tall Boy.
So does a tall king actually mean that he's tall?
Yeah. And a short king means he's short.
Okay. Makes sense.
For those who didn't. Just to clarify, for those who didn't understand.
Oh, that's what that means.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Guys, you know, I'm Ukrainian. There's a lot of things that I don't know.
Yeah.
It's actually
like how to defeat Russia?
That we know, bitch. That we know.
Oh,
fuck you.
I love you.
Are you guys using me for clout?
We are.
No, honestly, this is really good.
I'm really my.
This is really good. This is really good clickbait. Well, we're keeping up with the times.
A Ukrainian woman that has dated a Persian man. Perfect for Persian Girl Podcast. February 2022. Actually, we are in March now. Fuck.
Oh, shit.
Oh my god, we're in March 2022. I'm not okay mentally.
I've never been okay mentally. I haven't been okay mentally since like 2017.
2017, Natalie.
I haven't been okay mentally since like 2005.
2017 is when I met that boy that gaslit me for 3 years.
Word.
Yeah.
I haven't been okay since 2005.
2005?
No, 2003.
2003? You were in elementary school.
You don't know.
Millie, let's like unpack this.
By the way, for all our PGP listeners, Anna and Millie are my two best friends. So it's really nice to have them on the podcast. Anna's never been on the podcast.
No, she needs to come on. Honestly, I'm like super honored and really excited right now.
Yeah, but if she sounds really poor quality, it's because we're talking to her through my Metro PCS iPhone.
She's actually in Kiev right now.
She's in Kiev.
Like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
God forbid. No, no, Anna's safe. Oh, I shouldn't say where you live.
Yeah, you should have said, can you bleep that out?
Yeah, we'll bleep it out. Yeah. Sorry.
Anna's in the
metropolitan area. Do you want to talk a little bit about what's going on?
Yeah. Please share with our listeners and enlighten them about the truth. Why do I sound like that?
Natalie, you're trash.
I'm trash. I'm drinking a White Claw Tall Boy.
Wait, can I pour myself a glass of wine in this case?
Yes.
Talk about this. I can't do it sober.
Yes.
Okay, so.
I literally am trash. I'm drinking a White Claw Tall Boy at 10:40 on a Tuesday. Like, does it get more trash?
This is like peak Corona times.
Oh my God, I miss peak Corona times when you used to pour ourselves like cocktails at like 3:30 on a Monday.
Yeah, no, I never had that. I had like I was writing my thesis.
I worked all of Corona.
Okay, I also was like doing
what,
my thesis.
What were you doing?
I'm sorry, Natalie. I was in my final semester of college, and I also had a traumatic thing that I was going through. Don't fuck with me right now. Like, don't. I know you had your like service industry thing, but like I also have my own shit.
Are you making fun of people that work in the
service industry? Don't compare my thing with yours. They were different.
To all of our listeners, Millie doesn't respect people in the service industry.
I do. I worked as a host once.
When?
I worked I ran away from home when I was 19. I was dating this sketchy guy. And then I was working at this Indian restaurant as a host. And then, like, everyone was harassing me. These, like, fat Americans kept coming in and, like, having problems with me. And I just quit. And, like, all the Indians were, like, it's nothing towards Indians, but they were all really creepy. They're like, oh, Millie. Oh, your name is Millie. Like, that's Indian. It's a very sexy name. And I'm just like, it's not Indian. My parents were just trying to be...
That was literally a nickname.
I was like, my parents are just trying to assimilate into American culture. I'm Persian, and Millie is like an English name, short for Camilla. I don't know.
Camilla.
I mean, my full name is Millie, unfortunately. And my middle name was supposed to be Ashraf, but my mom put it as Ashi. So it's Millie Ashi. I don't have a real name.
You have two nicknames. Well, my first name was supposed to be Farhang, so I think I beat you.
Yeah, I still call Natalie Farhang sometimes.
My mom would murder you. Like, my mom considers you a daughter. She would disown you if you ever called me Farhang in front of her.
Well, have you ever told the story of what happened?
On the podcast?
Yeah.
Have I told the story? I don't know. I've repeated so many stories, but I don't know if I told this one.
It's a good story.
Basically, when I was born, when my mom married my dad, a lot of people in the community warned her that my grandma, like my dad's mom, was very controlling in the family. And basically when I was born, like in Judaism, like you name your child in front of the Torah. So you like throw a party at the synagogue and name your child. So my dad was about to go up to the Torah and name me. And my mom always wanted to name her, if she had a daughter, she wanted to name her Natalie for like, since she was like, I don't know, a teenager. It was always her favorite name. So my uncle, my dad's brother, came up to my mom and my aunt. And he was like, oh, can you guys get more candy to throw to the men's side? Because, like, I don't know if they do this. I don't know if it's just a Middle Eastern thing or if it's a Jewish Middle Eastern thing or just a Persian thing. I'm really not sure. But we throw candy during, if it's a bar mitzvah or a baby naming or any, or a wedding, an engagement, whatever, in the synagogue, we throw men. We throw men off the tower. So we throw, wow. We throw candy. And we throw candy at the men. So my dad's brother came up to my mom and he's like, and my mom and her sister, and he's like, can you guys get more candy? And my mom always hated this tradition. She thought it was very like barbaric and like old fashioned.
Dahati.
Yeah.
Dahati means like from a village.
Yeah. So basically my mom felt like it was very Dahati. So he was like, you guys get more candy? My mom was like, well, my husband's about, your brother, like, my husband's about to go name the baby. I don't want to miss it. And he's like, of course I wouldn't let you miss it. Like, we're going to wait for you. So my mom and her sister go to get more candy. And when they came back, I was already named. So they went, after the naming, they do, like, the party, like, the food part where there's music and food. And everyone sits down and dances, whatever. So, like, on the way to that part in the synagogue, like, my mom's good friend comes up to her. She's like, Dahlia, like, didn't you want to name your daughter Natalie? And mom's like, yeah, what do you mean? And she's like, oh, I don't know. I thought I heard some other name, but maybe I'm mistaken. I don't want to cause drama. And my mom was like, okay. Mom. And my mom was like, okay. So she didn't want to cause drama, so she waited until the party was over, and it was my mom, my dad, and his mom were all in the same car driving back to their apartment in the city. And my mom looks at my dad and she's like, Mayor, like, didn't we agree to name our daughter Natalie?
This is so crazy. This would never happen right now. I
know. And my dad was silent. Like, he was so, like, embarrassed and intimidated. I don't know. Like, he was so quiet. And then my grandma, my dad's mom, goes, no, Dahlia. I had my mom came to me in a dream last night and told me to name your daughter after her. And my mom's eyes are, like, bulging out of her head. She's like, this is my first child ever, and it's my daughter. And, like, you thought that you could name her? This isn't your daughter. It's my daughter. She's like, so I named her Fedhang. Okay. Let's rewind, like, 40 years or whatever. My grandma had her second daughter around the same time that her mother-in-law died. So my grandpa wanted to name her after his mom. And my grandma was like, I don't like your mom's name, so we'll just name her Ima. And Ima in Hebrew means mom. So not only was my grandma so stubborn and was like, we're not naming our daughter after my grandfather's mom, but then she was also so stubborn that she convinced my dad to name me after her mom. Love her though, you know, like, what a power trip. What was I saying? Oh, because Anna asked about the pharynx, so if I shared the pharynx story. I never did before, but I think yeah now you guys know. It's a great story. The full scoop. Yeah,
guys, you know what I'm eating?
What?
I just made myself a crisp with cheese and tahini.
What's a crisp?
Chips.
You know, thin crisps.
Oh, like the pita chips?
They're not like pita chips. They're like crisps. I don't know how to explain
like
that.
Like a potato chip.
No. They're like healthy, like sourdough rye thins.
Oh, I hate those things. They're so dry. You could literally, like, die choking on one of those.
Yeah, I'm
fine. Yeah. The only thing but you, the, like...
Okay, we gotta keep it, like... We gotta Persian? Keep it relevant. For, no, not Persian, but just...
Well, tell us about Ukraine, Anna. What? She asked to get a bottle of wine, and then she said she would tell us about Ukraine.
Okay, so should I talk about my story?
Yeah. I guess, like, it's interesting to hear, like, someone who's personally
implicated. Yeah, like, I feel like... Let's talk about what's relevant, yeah.
Let's talk about a different war.
Yes, let's talk about a different war.
So I immigrated from Ukraine when I was 8, lived in Oklahoma for 6 months, and then moved back to Ukraine, and then immigrated again when I was 15.
And that's when me and Anna met.
Yeah, and me and Natalie became friends, like, first week of freshman year of high school. Okay, so what happened with Ukraine? I'm not a political expert, so I also don't want to spread misinformation.
Nobody's listening to this podcast because they think anyone who speaks here is an expert, so don't worry.
Okay, good, because I'm not. Just so you guys
we're
know.
We're not expert on any subject ever.
I'm eating cheese with tahini and drinking wine. What the fuck do I know?
Yeah.
So... In 2014, so 8 years ago, Crimea was annexed by Russia through an illegal vote. So what that means is Russia came. Well, actually, we should back up a little bit to Soviet Union just to give a better picture of what happened. So after the Soviet Union fell apart, every country that was a part of the Soviet Union was given a territory, kind of like, this is your land, go play. So Ukraine was given Crimea. It's very close to, like, inland Ukraine, but it's also close to Russia. But after the divide of the Soviet Union, it was decided that that Crimea will be a Ukrainian territory. To Russia, it was never a good thing, because the way Crimea is situated, it's by the Black Sea. It's across the water from the Middle East, from Turkey. There's a lot of ports there. So there's a lot of valuable land that is needed for the Russian army and the Russian Navy. So Russia was never a fan of the fact that Crimea was given to Ukraine. And basically, since the collapse of the Soviet Union, kind of was trying to find an in for them to take over.
Well, yeah, I feel like it was also, like, valuable towards, like, the economy. Any port.
Yeah, of course, but the Navy and the Army is valuable towards the economy.
Yeah.
So it's the economy, it's the Navy, there's also a lot of history in Crimea, so there is also a part of, like...
Yeah, they used to consider it their capital, no?
No, that's Kiev.
Oh, sorry. I'm uneducated. That's why we have you here to educate us.
Was a part of the Ottoman Empire. Okay. There's a lot of Mongolians living there, Mongolians, and I don't even know how to say it in English. It's like...
Say it in Russian.
Tatarians.
What?
I think they're called, like... In Russian, it's called Tatari. So, in English, it's something like that.
Okay.
So, it's people from, like, the Ottoman Empire. So, they're, like, the native people there. So, in 2014... there was a lot of unrest in Ukraine, political unrest. Governments were changing, laws were changing, rules were changing. It was, there was like a revolution. So the president of Russia, Vladimir Putin, found his way into Crimea and basically was like, hey guys, do you want to be Russia? And that was the only question that he asked. He didn't ask, do you want to be Russia or Ukraine, or do you want to be your own autonomous government? He said, do you want to be Russia? And apparently, most people voted yes. It's not accurate, first of all. Most people did not vote yes. And even if they did, that's not his decision to just come into, like, a foreign territory and be like, hey, do you want to be a part of this country? So, long story short, he annexed through the... Russian army, he annexed Crimea. For people like us, like my family, we spent our whole lives going to Crimea. It was like our like summer homes. My family has a summer home there. It's by the water. It's beautiful, beautiful history, amazing nature. It's like going to, I don't want to say Florida, because Florida is such shit compared to Crimea, but it's kind of like
that. It's kind of like the equivalent, yeah. Yeah, and, like, suddenly, like, you guys that were once, like, citizens of Crimea now needed, like, a visa to, like, visit your own home. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Exactly. So for us to cross borders into our own home, we all of a sudden needed visas.
Yeah.
Because then the relationship between Russia and Ukraine was strained. Usually we didn't need visas going into Russia, but now we did. Now we had to, especially if you're an American, which I am, so I'm an American Ukrainian. For me, it was like even harder to get into.
Russia does not appreciate Americans.
No, Russia does not appreciate Americans, and there's a whole history behind that too, which we might get into a little bit, but I don't want to take over your whole podcast with this history lesson. So long story short, he annexed Crimea, then he started going to this territory called Donbass. Donbass is situated on the eastern side of the Ukrainian territory. It borders Russia. People there are genetically both Russian and Ukrainian. There's a lot of Russians there. But again, when the Soviet Union was divided, that part went to Ukraine because of historical reasons, geopolitical reasons, etc. So that part he started doing a similar thing there, kind of like, do you guys want to be a part of Russia? And some people said yes, some people said no. There was a war there. There has been a war there for 8 years now. On this, it's a tiny land. It's two cities called Donetsk and Lugansk, and they're right next to each other. And there has been military in that region since 2014, basically fighting for whose righteous land this is. So Russians are saying it's the Ukrainian fault that we didn't just let the Russian people take over their land. And we're saying, the Ukrainian side is saying that this is a Ukrainian territory. If you don't want to be a part of Ukraine, you can pack up your bags and move to Russia just across the border.
Yeah, it's which is gigantic. Yeah. It's just like the largest continent.
Right. So that's been the beginning of the war. So for 8 years, everyone was kind of like not taking it very seriously because no one thought that Putin was actually going to invade. We were kind of like, okay, we're going to like stand our ground. We're going to protect our land. Sooner or later, he's going to get the fuck out. But that was also probably stupid thinking because Putin doesn't just get the fuck out. Like in every war that Putin has started, he's won.
Yeah, I mean, I think that just proves human nature doesn't change the same way most Europeans thought that, like, they weren't going to die staying in Europe. And then they were like, oh, yeah, Hitler's going to give up. He's not going to kill us. And then they all died.
Yeah, and there's a whole... So today I did some research because I don't know enough, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know everything, and I want to research more and understand the situation better. My whole family is there, so for me it's also very personal. So I was researching articles and just kind of like historic references to Hitler's reign and how it all even started, because to me I always was like, how the fuck could so many people be on the side of Hitler? Like, people aren't, like, how brainwashed were there to believe that Jews and gypsies and other ethnic groups, and not just ethnic groups, you know, people who ended up being massacred, how did no one try to stop it?
Well, the way I personally see it is, like, he had a lot of charisma, like, almost like how Kennedy had a lot of charisma. But the difference is Kennedy didn't have an evil agenda and Hitler did. But like human nature, like they tend to follow this like charismatic type of man.
I agree. It was charisma, but besides charisma, there was also really instilling this pride, this nationalist pride. And saying that, you know, the Aryan race, we're better than everyone. These other people are creating propaganda. These people are, you know, conspiring against us. And if we don't attack them first, they're going to attack us.
No, it's not about being attacked. It's just historically Jews represented consciousness. And there is a big pushback.
No, but I think she's saying with Putin.
That's not what I believe. That's what Hitler said.
But I think with Putin.
Oh, I'm just explaining what, like, I was talking about World War II and talking about, sorry.
But Putin's similar to the thing with Israel is, like, people spread this propaganda that if, like, the rest of the Middle East doesn't attack Israel, Israel's going to wipe them out. And Israel's not trying to wipe anyone out. And, like, Putin's spreading the same propaganda that, like, if they don't attack Ukraine, Russia's going to be wiped out. It's like, Ukraine's not even trying to attack you. You're starting the fight, not Ukraine.
Well, yeah. Ukraine used to be, used to have the third largest nuclear power in the world. So, just for reference, my great-grandpa used to be, because in Soviet Union, you couldn't be, like, I don't know, like the president of a company, right? Because there weren't titles like that because everyone is communist. But my grandpa was like the main leader of the production of metals in Soviet Union,
mm-hmm.
but specifically in like the eastern region. I mean, there were a few, like, big production factories. Like, the one that my grandpa led was, like, one of the top three biggest ones. So there was a lot of military power in Ukraine, and there were nuclear weapons. Like, Chernobyl, you know, there were power plants and nuclear weapons, and Ukraine gave up that power in the 90s. I might be wrong, I need to look this up. And basically, they signed a deal with the U.S. saying that, hey, we're going to sign this deal. We're going to give up our nuclear weapons, but you need to protect us because we're neighboring with Russia. Who the fuck knows what happens in Russia and what they decide to do?
But also give up our nuclear rights to who?
We gave up our nuclear power to the U.S., I believe.
That we're supposed to protect them if Russia decides to attack.
Yeah, exactly.
Which we're not doing. No. We're just not buying Russian vodka anymore.
Right. Nice. And like I said, there's so many nuances, and there's so many, like...
Yeah, that's like also ties into like China and...
Yeah.
And Germany...
And Germany has a stake in it, and there's like
and a so lot does Israel, because Israel's still getting reparations from Germany. There's just like so much from World War II that ties into how everyone's reacting to like quote unquote like World War III. Like there's so much like shit from World War II that's still like adding to the equation now, and how everyone ties into each other.
Yeah, and then I have a friend who thinks this is just, like, a fake invasion for Putin to get, like, to call the U.S.'s bluff to get them to feed information to commit to, I don't know, to get concessions, and I don't know.
Yeah. Whoa, there's so many conspiracies.
So, called the Budapest Memorandum on Security Assurances, and it's... It happened in 1994. Oh, wow, when I was born. And it gave assurances relating to Belarus, Kazakhstan, and Ukraine to treaty on the non-proliferation of nuclear weapons.
Okay.
And it was signed by three nuclear powers, Russian Federation, United Kingdom, and the United States. And then China and France gave, like, weaker assurances that they're going to support. But... throughout it all, so technically speaking, Russia and the United States gave, like, their signatures. They're not going to use their weapons against Ukraine. But long story short, let's bring it back to today. So Ukraine started actually doing pretty well a couple of years ago. So we got a new president who, in itself, he's incredible, but he's a character. There's a whole story there of how he became president. He used to be a comedian.
What? I didn't know that.
Yeah, so he used to be an actor.
Well, our last president used to be a reality show star.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yours used to be... let's not go there. But yours used to be a comedian.
He used to be an actor then, well, a comedian actor. Then he had the show that was called The Slave to the People. And in that show, he was playing a teacher who all of a sudden randomly gets elected to be the president of Ukraine. And in that show, he's kind of like, figuring out how to be president. He's this like regular guy, and then all of a sudden he's president and he doesn't know what to do with it, and it's a very funny show. And then his show became a reality. So to understand how that happened, you also need to like understand the Ukrainian oligarchy and how that works and how people actually get appointed into presidency and into like high stake roles.
Well, do you think part of the reason, sorry to interrupt, but do you think part of the reason he got elected is because the Ukrainian oligarchy is predominantly Jewish, and because he is a child of, like, someone who survived the Holocaust?
I don't know what's in the, I don't know how exactly he got elected, but that could be a part of it. The Jewish community in Ukraine is actually really big, despite what the fuck Putin is trying to say that there's Nazis there. The city that I'm from is called Dnipro. It has the biggest Jewish center in Europe.
Yeah, the biggest Chabad.
The biggest Chabad, and it has like a Holocaust museum, and it has a bunch of kosher restaurants. It has the highest amount of synagogues per capita. There's a really prominent Jewish culture, and besides that, a lot of people in Ukraine are mixed, unless you like stayed within your community, which very few people did, and usually they're very religious. But if you're not religious, usually you didn't give a fuck. Yeah. And there's a lot of marriage, there's a lot of different religions.
Yeah, from what you've told me though, it almost became like popular to even for like children of mixed marriages to reclaim their Judaism, which isn't right, something that's that common in the rest of the world.
Yeah, that's what started happening.
Yeah.
Even me, so I found out that I was Jewish when I was like 15, and I didn't grow up really with any religion. Like, some of my family members like went to church, some of them didn't do anything. Some of my family members went to Jewish school. Like, my cousins grew up going to yeshiva, but it was kind of like just for education purposes. You know, we never really thought about like anything from like a religious perspective.
Yeah, because in general, I think even in the U.S., in certain states, yeshivas are just known to really focus on education and just were known to have better education than like a lot of public schools. So I feel like that's similar.
Right, but the yeshivas in Ukraine are very different from yeshivas here. Yeshivas in Ukraine are like, I mean, there are yeshivas that are religious, but the yeshiva that I'm referring to, it's kind of like an after-school program, more okay. so
yeah.
anything. Basically, the president got elected. There's definitely a lot of economic turbulence still, but it started getting better, at least. But there were still issues because after Russia annexed Crimea, we put sanctions on Russia, and a lot of the businesses that we had got defaulted because we couldn't do business with Russia anymore, even my family. My dad worked in like import-export business, and a lot of his clients, like, he lost a lot of his clients because they were Russian.
Honestly, anytime someone says, even in America, like any Middle Eastern people that say, yes, I work in import-export, I just think in my head, like, okay, you're doing sketchy shit.
Yeah, for sure. Not even
Like, I feel like import-export is, like, code name for, like, I do something sketchy that you don't need to know about.
Yeah. I literally didn't know what my dad did until I was, like, in my 20s. And I'm not even going to go into what my dad did. So let's just
skim over that.
Yeah. And so then, and I'm also giving this perspective from someone who moved to the United States when I was 15, right? So, like, I missed all of that. My parents literally shipped me here because they were like, we know that there's going to be, like, political unrest and there's going to be a lot of shit happening. So it's better that you go live in the United States because you have a green card. And then I became a U.S. citizen.
Yeah.
So my perspective on it is also kind of, like, bird's eye.
Yeah.
Which is probably different from how people of Ukraine are feeling.
Yeah.
And my whole family is there. So I talk to them. I have friends who are Russian. I talk to them. But that said, Ukraine didn't fucking start a war. Ukraine just wanted to live peacefully, wanted to have its territories that were rightfully given to them after the Soviet Union fell apart. And Putin was like, no, fuck this, because Ukraine is starting conversations with NATO, and they didn't want the U.S. next to their borders, because they're like, that's a threat to us. We don't want American military here, because that's a threat to our empire, essentially. So Putin was like, no, fuck this, I'm going to intervene. And for the last for the last 8 years, there's been a war, but it's been escalating slowly. But no one, literally no one, thought that he was going to actually invade. And that's what happened on the 24th of February at about 5 a.m. Ukrainian time, around 11 p.m. Eastern time, tanks invaded Kyiv and bombs started, like, just hitting civilian regions.
Yeah.
And initially, they said that it's only to, they were only targeting military
bases, which is always safe.
Yeah, but they're not targeting military bases. There's a lot of civilian casualties. They one of my close friends who lives in Kyiv, the building, so she lives in this like city center, and the building across the street from her where she goes, she's like, my gym is there, my coffee shop is there. That building got bombed. Yeah. It's in the middle of the city capital.
What I think is the most fucked up is like something I would always say about like Israel was given to the Jews after World War II by England, because England owned Israel, like owned the land, and they were like, we're gonna give it back. But they never, in any of the wars that Israel's fought, England never backed us up. And England can. England is tough. Everyone knows that throughout history. England's invaded many a land and can hold their own. But they've never backed up their words after just giving the land back. Like, they never backed it up. I think the same goes for Ukraine. Like, Ukraine was given back to the Ukrainians after World War II as well. But who that was, like, that part of that deal is now backing up Ukraine now that Russia is invading?
So, the United States is technically supposed to back up Ukraine, mm-hmm. but doing, like, the bare minimum.
Yeah.
I really
we're just annexing like their goods.
Yeah, I mean Zelensky's perspective on it. So he had a press conference today, and someone was like asking him, like, how do you feel about the fact that you guys are not getting help? And he was like, yeah, like, and that's what the Ukrainian government is saying in general. Like, we're happy that we're getting the help that we are getting, and like, we're grateful for this. We're not going to be like, we're strong. We're a strong nation. We will fight and we will defend ourselves. So yeah. For the last 6 days, Russia has been, like, increasing their aggression towards Ukraine. And there's cities bombed. There's sirens, like, all day, every day in the majority of the country. It's impossible to go from one city to another. It's very dangerous. It's not impossible. Some people are doing it, but it's very dangerous. And there have been civilian casualties. Like, there have been cars bombed who were just, like, trying to get to the border. So right now we're waiting for a diplomatic resolution to this. But it's very hard because
honestly, everyone's, like, afraid of Putin.
Putin is, I mean, to me, he is literally just Hitler 2.0.
Yeah. A lot of people are comparing him to that.
It's very wild because, you know, we grew up, the Eastern European culture, generally speaking, like, we grew up listening to Russian music, watching Russian shows. We speak Russian.
The first language is Russian. The second language is Ukrainian.
Right. And we are very much a part of the Russian culture, and they are a part of ours. We always loved each other, but clearly there has always been some type of resentment from the Russian side, and I'm sure there's some resentment from the Ukrainian side as well, because we were always very, like, cautious of it. But we have a lot of our artists living in Russia. We have Russian artists living in Ukraine. We speak the same language. We sing the same songs. And what I've been seeing just on social media and going, because I've been doing some web sleuthing and, like, understanding how different people feel about the situation. And what I'm seeing, not like a crazy amount, but some celebrities and some people that I followed my whole life, the songs that I grew up with, are saying, we had to attack, because if we didn't attack, then Ukraine was going to attack us. I want everyone who listens to this to look at the map of Russia and look at the map of Ukraine and just, like, compare the sizes of the two. Ukraine is, like, 1/30th of Russia and borders, like, a very small section of the Russian border. So even if you think about this logically and logistically, there's zero chance. And also, we don't have the same military as Russia does. We don't invest all of our money into the military, unlike Russia. So there was very, very, very small chance of us actually, like, forcibly attacking Russia.
Yeah.
That's not a part of our plan. We just wanted to live our life. We wanted to better our economy. We wanted better for our people. And that includes certain allies, for sure. And to Russia, allies are the enemy.
Yeah.
The United States. So, yeah, for the last 6 days, there's been a war, and it's very scary, and there's attacks on civilians, there's attacks on cities. Like, today, Russia straight up said, they want everyone who's in Kiev, we're warning you, get the fuck out, because we're going to start bombing, like, government buildings.
It's just crazy to me, like, how much the rest of the world is so, like, naive in regards to, like, quote-unquote, like, fake news, because my entire life, like, everyone's been using the same phrases in regards to Israel. Number one, that Israel is the size of New Jersey and the rest of the Middle East is so huge, and that, like, Jews were kicked out of the rest of the Middle East and we needed somewhere to go, and this little piece of land the size of New Jersey is the only place for us to be. And, like, and meanwhile, the rest of the world still believes that this little piece the size of New Jersey is trying to attack the rest of the Middle East, which is so ridiculous. That's one thing we would always say. And then we would always say, if Israel puts their arms down, there will be a no Israel. And if, like, the rest of the Middle East puts their arms... I mean, if the rest of the Middle East puts their arms down, there will be no Israel. If Israel puts their arms down, there will be no war. And, like, and now everyone's using those same two phrases in regards to size and in regards to armies putting their arms down, in regards to Ukraine and Russia. But somehow the rest of the world is still believing the nonsense that the oppressor is putting out into the world and into social media and into the news, and not believing the oppressed. And it's just, like, insane to me. Like, we're using the same phrases and, like, nobody's believing us. And it's, like, the same thing is happening over and over again. It's, you guys are such sheep. Things are just repeating themselves in the different parts of the world, and nobody's believing the oppressed.
No, like,
the oppressors are the oppressors for a reason, because they're so good at manipulation.
Yeah,
and people are so good at being Israel's.
They're not branding experts of being victims.
Yeah, humans are so good at being manipulated. Like, that's just, like, what I'm learning from this whole situation with Ukraine and Russia. Like, we're literally using the same phrases that Israel has always been using. And, like, humans are just so good at being manipulated. It's insane. It's sad, honestly.
Yeah,
it's really sad, because part of what makes, like, a superpower more powerful is, like, people's support.
Mm-hmm.
And all these sheep are, like,
there was
support.
Like, that infographic everyone kept sharing of Israel bombing Syria. It's like where a Russian base was.
Yeah,
you want to cancel Russia?
Yeah, meanwhile, yeah,
people, I don't know.
Yeah, that
I
was the
know.
Craziest part. People supporting Ukraine were sharing that graphic of Israel bombing,
like,
Syria, and it's like Israel's bombing Russian bases in Syria. Israel's not bombing Syria in general. So, like, get your facts straight. It's just that, like, people are literally so good at being manipulated. It's, like, sad. But
yeah, and my favorite quote unquote argument right now is, like, I saw, like, Bella Hadid, my fucking favorite, the Hadid family.
Oh my God,
like, they can go fuck themselves.
Literally.
And
yeah.
Persian Girl Podcast, second. Fuck the Hadids.
Like, also, like, yeah, like, Bella Hadid shared this, like, one post in her story, like, and even fucking Ukrainians are like, yeah, Bella Hadid is supporting us. I'm like, shut the fuck up. She's not supporting you. She's using it for her own personal argument to be like, you see, like, this is what Israel is doing to Palestine.
I know, it's so disturbing.
No, it's the fucking opposite.
It's so creepy how much everyone is, like, fetishizing this war. It's like, people are really getting off on this. I'm like, wow, interesting. Like, you're perverted.
Yeah.
It's like everyone's using this as their moment to stand up. And then also people bringing skin color into it. It's like, I don't care like middle of America racist news channel said about what about Ukraine. You cannot attack Ukrainians just because of what someone like that said. Like, if you are reducing this to skin color, you are racist. I don't care what skin color yours is. How tasteless and vulgar can you be to really bring that up right now?
Yeah.
I have no room for anyone like that in my life.
Yeah, it even goes back to Whoopi Goldberg saying that the Holocaust wasn't about skin, like, wasn't about race. It was about white people hating on white people. And it's like,
are you okay? Have you seen cartoons of Jews in the past?
Also,
have you seen our TikTok? People are attacking me for my nose.
Yeah. Also, excuse me, Whoopi Goldberg, who literally changed her name to a Jewish last name to get ahead in Hollywood. Like, don't attack Jews after you used a Jewish last name. Just get ahead. I'm sorry. Like, you're canceled. But the Hiddies are canceled also.
I don't care about cancel. Yeah. I'm just like, I don't like you. Stay the fuck away from us.
I don't want to cancel anyone because I'm against cancel culture in general.
No, like, yeah, do you. I just don't want to be near you, that. Yeah, just fuck off.
I just don't support you.
Yeah, kindly fuck off and I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear about you.
Let's regroup.
Yeah.
I mean, I just don't take these people seriously.
But it's really sad how easily people are manipulated. And, like, it's also sad how
Bella Hadid has anxiety because, you got, like, DUIs and, like, lip injections and, like, facelifts at, like, 18? Bye. I don't really care about your personal panics.
But anyway.
Go get another DUI in Malibu. People who grew up in Malibu are fucking weird. Sorry. That's just my little
LA girl's 2 cents. But anyway, it's just really sad how a lot of, like, Russian, like, famous Russian people with, like, a huge platform, or anyone with a huge platform, like Whoopi Goldberg or the Hadids, like, don't think twice before they speak. Like, so many people are listening to you for some reason, believe what you say, even though it's not valid at all.
They just don't have enough brain capacity to actually think it through. It's not like they post it on purpose. But just to, you know, for their own personal agenda. And to me, anyone who's using Ukraine or anything else right now for their own personal agenda, I'm like, shut the fuck up. Like, just, if you don't understand the situation, I would rather you fucking not say anything.
Yeah.
Than try to be like, oh, I support Ukraine just because everyone's posting I support Ukraine. You know, like, I have Ukrainian friends who are like, oh, I see you're not posting anything. That means you're not with us. To be honest with you, like, I don't necessarily agree with it because I don't say things about matters that I don't know. And I would rather not say anything than say something that's not educated. And I would rather the world take that approach. But at the same time, I want people to educate themselves. I want people to, like, find accurate resources. But the truth is, like, the world is not as smart as we want it to be. Not everyone is going to actually do their own research and due diligence. They would rather just fucking see a post and repost it on their story.
Also, the reposting
cards.info.
Is that where you get your information?
No, it's just, like, every time there's a new thing in the news, it's like, thismatters.cards.info, and people put it in their bio to kind of show that they're safe. They're not part of this. They're with the times. They care.
Like, woke. I'm woke.
Yeah, what I like about what you're
doing. And it's like, where the fuck is this money going to that you're putting this in your bio?
But, like, I like the fact that Anna specifically is posting a lot of articles where people can read about the facts and then make their own assumption and, like, make their own opinion.
Yeah, like, for example, today, the biggest Holocaust grave in Ukraine got bombed. It's called Baba Yar. or Babin Yar. Like,
oh, I read about that.
Ways of saying it. Yeah. It's next to a TV station or like satellite, essentially. So they tried to bomb the satellite, and they did, but with doing so, they also bombed the grave. And the president of Ukraine tweeted, or whoever his PR person is, tweeted and said, the fact that 80 years later, we keep saying never again, yet we fucking bomb, or, you know, Russians fucking bomb the biggest Holocaust grave in Ukraine. And how can we say never again?
Yeah, you know, meanwhile, how can Putin fucking say we're fighting Nazis? Meanwhile, Ukraine has, like, the biggest, like, Chabad and, like, the biggest, like, Jewish community and synagogues per capita in Europe. And you're bombing Holocaust sites. Oh, yeah, you're fighting Nazis. You are a fucking Nazi. You're, yeah. You're, like, the next fucking Hitler. Like, yeah. And the fact that people believe that he's fighting Nazis. Like, it's insane to me. Like, are you doing any research? Or are you reading one title of an article and then making your decision?
But I also want to point out that the people of Russia are scared of Putin.
Yeah,
and
they're not like, all
today,
to be blamed.
I also saw...
No, obviously not.
No,
I
think that's something that we should say.
Because yeah, no, in any capacity. Like, no, it's not...
Yeah.
Why I was saying Baba Yar is because, like, I posted on my story because a lot of people are just, like, reposting it, but no one fucking knows who Baba Yar is, you know? It's, like, to most Americans, it's, like, I don't know what the fuck this is. So I think it's important to, like, attach links and educate people on what this actually is. And I just wish more people did that. But today, also, in Russia, I think it was in Moscow, people started protesting and they went to the Ukrainian embassy. Like, Ukrainians who live in Russia or they have, like, Ukrainian ancestry or whatever, they went to the Ukrainian embassy to lay flowers for the victims of people who died so far in Ukraine. And they got arrested and they were kids, like, younger than the age of 10. They got arrested and they were taken to the precinct because you can't speak about this in Russia. You will get sanctioned by your own government. You will get arrested. You will maybe even get killed. And people are fucking scared. But at the same time, it's this fucked up dichotomy where people are scared of him, but they also think that he is the best protector of their interests. Because they're like, oh, if the United States decides to attack us, who but Putin is going to protect us on the level that he's protecting us? But no one is fucking trying to attack you. You know, we live in 2022. Like, we're just trying to build our economies. We're trying to be the citizens of the world. I think Russians feel the same way. And they just want
to... It's similar to any, like, dictatorship, because I would consider Putin kind of a dictatorship with the way he keeps, like, getting himself back into power through illegal ways which shouldn't be allowed. Similar to North Korea or similar to Palestine with the Muslim Brotherhood. Like, it's like their own people are afraid of their government, but they also are brainwashed by their government. Like, I don't blame all Palestinians for what's happening with their government and the way they're acting. It's like they're fucking scared. And same way with North Korea. Like, a lot of them, like, are brainwashed to believe. Like, I remember I was watching a documentary where North Korea was the last, like, place on Earth that was still having issues with cataracts. And America sent some surgeons to go fix people's cataracts. Yeah. And after they would get the surgery and they could see again, the first thing that they did was went and bowed down to a photo of their dictator because they were brainwashed. They were brainwashed to believe that this is the person who's going to protect them the most in the world. Meanwhile, it's kind of like Stockholm syndrome, where, like, it's like this is your oppressor, but then you start to believe in this person and think that they're going to protect you.
So yeah, like, you can't blame these people 100%. Like, yeah, maybe some of them are following this person and, like, know that they're bad and are still, like, choosing to side with them. But, like, I think majority of any of these countries are scared and brainwashed and don't know better. Or know better and are just terrified.
Yeah, but it's also, it's very sad that this whole situation is also igniting a fire that we, like, it's igniting a fire between Russians and Ukrainians, because, again, like, I never had anything against Russians as people, you know? They're just people who are living their lives just
who have a similar genetic makeup to you, who came from a similar region.
Right. But right now, it's starting to... It's like hatred on another level from both sides. Ukrainians are hating on Russians. Russians are hating on Ukrainians. It's the consequences of this intrusion are not just going to be physical, which is obviously the worst part, that it's going to take a lot of people's lives, innocent lives, that don't want to be a part of this. But it's also going to ignite, like, a cold war that is going to last a very long time. People are not going to just forget this.
Yeah, like, when this ends physically, it's not going to end mentally and emotionally. Like, people are still going to hate each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that brings us to today, and that's where we are. And I just, my biggest thing is, like, to anyone who has any doubts that there is actually warfare and there are civilians being killed. Like, my whole family is there. They witness it every day. Like, I don't think I ever told you this, Natalie, but, well, I told you parts of this, but my grandma, who lives in New York normally, she went to Ukraine 3 months ago because my great-grandma, her mother, she's 97, she is a survivor of World War II. Her sister was in concentration camps. Like, they went through fucking hell. And she is 97. She fell a couple of months ago, broke her leg. So my grandma, who lives here, she went to Ukraine to be with her, because in 97, when you fall, like, most likely your
body's not going to repair itself, and you're probably just deteriorating.
Yeah. So today I was talking to my grandma, and she said that my great-grandma is not doing well, and, like, we're at a point where it's kind of like we're counting days. And my mom, my brother, my stepdad, like, my whole family, they live in a city that's about an hour and a half away from the village where my great-grandma lives. She still lives in the same house where she survived World War II.
And, like, hidden bunkers.
And hidden bunkers, yeah. So my mom told me today that they decided as a family that they're not going to go to the funeral. And that's their grand, you know, that's like, she's like the matriarch of our family. And they decided they're not going to go to the funeral because it's very dangerous to travel even an hour. Because the highway that they would have to take is the highway that leads to Kiev. And that's where the military is right now. So, and there's cars that have been shot down by missiles on that highway. So she's like, yeah, we decided that it's like extremely sad, but my brother is 11 years old, and she's like, I'm not taking a child there. And even going, like, because we've been talking every day, and I'm like, okay, well, maybe to Poland, maybe to Israel, like, maybe to Moldova. Like, what are the options to at least get somewhere so then you could maybe come to the U.S. because they're U.S. citizens? And she was like, no, we're just too scared. Because it's a very dangerous road to get to the border, and that's the situation. People are dying every day. The city center of one of the top five biggest, like, I mean, Kiev is, like, being bombed and destroyed left and right, and that's the fucking capital. And there's other big cities that are close to where my family lives, like, Big city got hit today, and their city center got fucking bombed, like the government building. And it's insane to see this happen. It's insane to see little kids be fucking stuck. Because also Ukraine doesn't have a lot of bunkers or, like, bomb shelters. So a lot of people are hiding in subway stations. A lot of people are hiding at, like, family, friends' houses that maybe have, like, basements that can be used as bomb shelters, you know? And it's fucking terrifying. And people are scared, and it's real, and it's not fucking propaganda. And whatever the war is and who started it, only God knows, and the people who did. But the point is that Russia is attacking Ukraine, whatever their reasoning is, and people need to understand and wake up. And another thing that I wanted to say, because we were talking about race, there's this whole other issue that's happening separately. So Ukraine has a lot of international students because Ukraine actually has good education, very cheap, specifically a medical education. And Ukrainian medical education is recognized by a lot of African countries. So a lot of African students come to Ukraine for med school. And now they're in a position where they're trying to flee and they're trying to get back to their home countries and they're having an issue getting out. And a lot of people are saying, oh, Ukraine is racist because they're not letting people through the borders. It's not what's happening. The truth is that only women and kids are allowed to get through borders right now. Ukrainian men are not allowed to get through borders. If you're a Ukrainian man aged 18 to 60, most likely you won't be able to get through unless you're disabled or you have some sort of, like, exit card, which not a lot of people do. And a lot of these people, like, who are international students, so happen to be African or Middle Eastern even, they can't get through because they're, right now, they're prioritizing women and kids. Because what's going to happen is there's going to be a Berlin Wall, and in that scenario, no one's going to be able to leave unless you're a citizen of a different country.
Yeah. So, no, that's really interesting because someone we spoke to was telling us how there's a lot of racism. They're not letting Indians or blacks out of Ukraine.
But they were saying that they were saying it's not that Ukraine isn't letting them out. In regards to the medical students, they were telling us it's Poland that was being racist and wasn't letting people of color in.
Listen, I don't know. Maybe there are racist people on the border, but the reason why it's happening is because they only have a limited amount of spots, right? They can't take in everyone.
Yeah.
It's chaotic. It's chaos right now in Europe. And they're prioritizing women and children. And the people who are international students, they're of age. They're not kids, right? Yeah. So, and they're not as worried about them because they're citizens of different countries. So even if there's a Berlin Wall, they're not going to have an issue getting out. Whereas if you're a Ukrainian citizen, you won't be able to leave.
Yeah, it's so interesting, like, the different perspectives. Like, someone was telling us it was, like, Poland being racist, but, like, in reality, it's...
Well, yeah.
I mean, it could be. I'm not denying that there could be racist people
it could be both.
Or in the Polish government. I don't know, like, the details like that, but I do know the reasoning behind it.
Yeah,
the general...
we all know that in general, it's always women and children that go first, whether it was the Titanic or any type of war. It's always women and children are put first.
Yeah. And then, interestingly, not a friend. He's a person that I know from, like, the crypto industry because I work in crypto. And he's not Ukrainian, but he loves Ukraine and he spent a lot of time living in Ukraine. So he went to the Polish border to get medical kits and medical supplies into Ukraine. And he was filming it and he said, interestingly, that the majority of people at the border of Poland are not even Ukrainian. They're international students coming out of Ukraine.
I mean, yeah, I can imagine the fear of, like, going somewhere and, like, not even being part of, like, the nationalistic side where you want to fight for your country. You're like, I don't even belong here. somehow I'm here and now I feel like stuck and I'm trying to rush out. I'm sure they were the first ones to run. Because I feel like anyone who is staying, a part of it is the nationalistic side of them being like, I don't want to leave all my home. I don't want to leave all my money. I don't want to leave like the memories and like the roots I have here. So yeah, like the students, nothing's tying them there. They want to get the fuck also, out.
There's this whole thing, like Ukraine has always been pretty like nationalistic, but like right now they're like really, really like uniting, which I really like. And in a way, I wish I was there. But it wouldn't help anyone, you know, because if I'm here, I can donate, I can make more money, I can help the country in a way that I wouldn't be able to do if I was there. But of course, at these types of times, you want to be with your family.
Of course, like you being there would not help the war, but I understand the guilt of not being there.
Right. But so the point is that one of my friends like posted this thing that a lot of people were like also sharing that this is a time in Ukraine where a lot of people right now, technically speaking, have the opportunity to leave. It's dangerous, but a lot of countries are accepting Ukrainian refugees into Israel, into Poland, to Moldova, even the United States, if you're able to get here, basically. But they're like, I don't want to. I want to be here. I want to be here with my family. I want to fight for my country. I want to fight for my land in whatever way I can. And it's also a very interesting perspective because as an immigrant who I wasn't asked if I want to immigrate or not. I was shipped here by my family.
You were kind of tricked into staying here.
Yeah, I was tricked into staying in the U.S. I came here when I was 15, went to summer camp. At the end of my summer camp, my mom was like, oh, just by the way, you're not going back to Ukraine. You're staying here and you're going to live in Great Neck. And I'm like, what the fuck is Great Neck? And why is everyone wearing weird fucking leggings?
Sophie's shorts and juicy tracksuits.
Yeah. But yeah, that was, that's a brief synopsis of what's happening in Ukraine. But there's a lot of history there and a lot of...
No, of course. I don't think it's thing to get into in one episode, but I think it was very interesting to hear your perspective and your relation to what's happening.
Yeah. We definitely started this episode off on a sillier note, but I'm happy that we got into all of this, and I'm happy that they got to hear more from someone who's actually living through it and who actually has family there and who has roots there and history there.
Yeah, but I also want to say that when you're doing due diligence, also, like, don't read, like, Fox and CNN articles, you know? Like, actually...
I think a lot of our listeners know that, because a lot of our listeners know that Fox and CNN spread fake news about the Middle East in general.
Yeah, like, read into...
At least I hope, like, you guys know that.
Book, periodicals, like... And again, like, I don't expect anyone to, like, actually spend days like I do trying to understand this, because to me, it's just a much more personal situation. But don't listen to everything that you see on social media, whether or not it's pro-Ukraine or pro-Russia. Like, do your due diligence.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, we'll put some links in the episode of news sites we appreciate.
Yeah, we'll definitely include links.
Like, journalists we like, and... I definitely have some, and Anna, I'm sure you have yours.
Yeah, you could share it with us, and we'll add it.
Cool.
But thank you for coming on.
This was fun. This was me also, because I was just talking to Natalie and Millie about some drama that had nothing to do with this, and then I just kind of got dragged into this, which I'm happy about.
Yeah,
we weren't planning any of this. I guess we just, like, we had all these feelings tonight, and we felt like talking, and we were like, wait, we literally have a platform to do exactly this. Why aren't we doing this?
Yeah. Also, I feel like, okay, I couldn't share this on my story on Instagram because I feel like I would get canceled, but can I share this here because it's just funny? So when the pandemic, like the week of the pandemic, when it first started, that weekend when everything was still open, Anna and I had tickets to go see these two DJs, Camel Fat and Bonobo, And that weekend, the pandemic started.
Or, like, that was when it became real. Like,
yeah, really that's when everything shut down.
Yeah.
And then...
Because, like, COVID traces back to China in, like, 2019 and earlier.
Sorry. Yeah, yeah. As someone who works in fashion and her bosses were talking about COVID in China, like, 5 months before it was even, like, anywhere on social media or the news.
Yeah.
Here, I knew about it before anyone else in my, like, vicinity. Yeah. So that was like the week that everything actually shut down. So then this past weekend, well, not this past weekend, 2 weekends ago, I had tickets again to Camel Fat and Bonobo. And then I remembered that I had tickets to those two DJs when everything shut down because of COVID. And I kept joking. I'm like, oh my God, what if I'm about to start the next pandemic because I have tickets to these two DJs again? And then the day, so Camel Fat passed, and then 3 days later was Bonobo. And the day that Bonobo was supposed to happen, like, the war started between Russia and Ukraine. And I was like, holy shit, like, is this a coincidence? Or is Camel Fat and Bonobo, like, is it dangerous for them to ever play in New York in the same week ever again? And, like, I feel like I should, like, message their PR and let them know that this is, like, a toxic relationship and they shouldn't be playing at the same time.
Basically, Natalie is the reason why
the COVID pandemic
started
and World War III.
Why World War III started.
So, yeah, I'm sorry. I want to publicly apologize to end on a lighter note.
Dear world.
Dear world.
Sincerest apologies from Natalie, Camel Fat, and Bonobo.
Yeah, so Camel Fat and Bonobo, if you're listening to this podcast by any chance, please never play in New York in the same week. Ever again because leave America alone.
Not America.
New York, the world.
leave Earth alone.
Because if you do ever play in New York in the same week again, I'm like 100% convinced that an asteroid is just gonna blow us all to smithereens. So please don't.
Just play on Mars.
Yeah, play on Mars. Seriously.
Elon Musk.
Send Camel Fat and Bonobo to Mars. Yeah,
hook us up. Send us to Richard Branson. Space. Let's get that SPCE stock up, back up, because I have no money.
You invested in that? Did you actually?
Yeah, I had made almost like 50,000 at one point and I didn't sell.
Millie!
Oh, I'm so greedy when it comes to trading.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I'm like, no. I'm worried. Are you okay?
I'm not okay. Mentally, I haven't been okay. But like, I just gotta give it a few more years and hopefully my portfolio will be back up.
It's never going back up to 50,000 for that stock. Okay, maybe it will.
No, I'm not saying, what do you mean? It wasn't 50,000 a share. I'm just saying generally I invested a lot at a cheap price and... I'm not sharing all of this. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Wait, how's your Clorox stock doing? Was it Clorox? What was the one that was doing really well when the pandemic hit? Windex?
I didn't invest in any of those. I invested mainly in GAFAM.
Wait, let's stop
Google,
telling
Amazon, Facebook. I'm sorry.
Let's stop telling. Let's stop telling the audience about your portfolio.
All right. Well, it was nice.
It was a pleasure.
Come back. Oh, it was a pleasure. It was really interesting, like how you transitioned all of that into like, and then I just arrived in Great Neck at 15, and I was like, why is everyone wearing leggings? I want to get back to that. I'm really curious why everyone was wearing leggings. And I'm also really curious why none of these Great Neck Persians know what dudutala means. And none of you guys speak Persian. They're all like, ooh, you have a Persian accent. It's like, no, I just am literate. I speak Persian. And you only speak English with a Persian accent. Isn't that crazy? Anyways, thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in. We love you all. We have a really, really cool interview coming up next week and the week after that.
Tune in.
It's lit.
Tune in for some comedy after all this war.
Yeah, I will need to listen to that.
Boos.